I'm an alcoholic. My name is Zane.
Hi, Zane.
And I'm really glad to be here to share in this. This room is a cool room. Yeah, I like this room a lot. So my sobriety date is September 25th, 1995. I was 23 years old when I got sober, and I didn't really think that it was something that I was going to be able to do. I didn't even really know what it meant. I just knew that, like, I drank a lot and I smoked a lot of weed and I needed to stop, and I couldn't. I tried and I couldn't. And that was pretty much the extent of, like, what I knew when I first kind of started this journey. So I'm going to try to kind of, like, talk about, like, what it was like for me to, like, get here and what it's been like for me since I've gotten here. Because it's been an interesting journey so far. So my dad's an alcoholic. Some of you may know that. My parents split up when I was like 4 years old because, you know, my parents were hippies, and my dad was like, drugs are awesome, I love to drink. And my mom was like, we have a kid. And my dad was like, sorry. And so, like, they split. And I totally relate to that decision that he made, because that was how I made all my decisions, like, when I was drinking. It was like, oh, wait, I have this thing, like, I can either drink or, like, do something with you. Like, I'm sorry, like, you're really nice, I like you, but you lose. Like, that was pretty much the way it was. And even when I didn't want to make that decision, like, that decision was made for me by whatever, this part of me that was just obsessed with this, like, taken over by alcohol and drugs. So I kind of knew about what drinking was and what it did, and like, my dad was like this, like, fun party guy, you know, like, I go to his house and it would be like, you know, all these, like, weird people with long hair and, like, crazy lights and weird drugs and music, and, like, I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy and cool, you know. And then I go home to my mom's house and it would be like, do your homework and, like, do all this stuff. So it was like, you know, I was like, oh man, I want to live this fun life. But at some point, I guess when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I was like, you know what, like, drugs and drinking, like, split up, like, my family, so I'm not going to do that. So I'm like 9 years old and I'm like, I'm never going to drink. Seems a little weird to me in retrospect, but, like, it made perfect sense. Like, I was like, I had come to that decision. One of the things I remember is, like, I always was just scared, you know, and that persisted, like, into sobriety. And sometimes, you know, that happens today. Thankfully, not as much, and thankfully today I have tools to deal with that fear. But, like, back then, like, I did not have the tools to deal with that fear. Like, that it would just take over, and it would influence the way that I interacted with people. It would influence my behavior. It just kind of, like, ruled my life. And so, you know, I remember my first drink, and I know some people don't, but, like, this is my experience. And I don't know, like, I've seen, like, movies, like, where, like these young people kiss and there's, like, this beautiful thing and, like, a unicorn comes out and there's, like, birds, like, this, like, wonderful, and, like, start, like, that's what my first drink was like for me. Like, I remember it was such clarity and beauty. Like, it was like I had found the answer to all of my problems. Like, I took that drink and, like, all those fears were just, like, gone, and they were not important, and I felt like I could deal. Like, I just felt like I could deal with life. And so that was what I decided to do. I was in, like, 10th grade, and I was like, this is the answer. Like, this is the answer to everything that I need to do. And so over the course of, like, the next year and a half, I was, like, kicked out of school twice, and then finally arrested for possession and kicked out of my mom's house, and I was sent to live with my dad here in New York City, actually right around the corner. And I sort of, like, stumbled my way through high school. I don't really remember, like, what I did, but, like, I got into some college. It was basically, my pattern was, like, I would be like, oh man, like, I'm fucking up in some way. So, like, I need to, like, straighten up. So I, like, stop drinking for, like, a week or something, or stop doing drugs for a week. And I'd be like, oh, man, I'm good at this. And then I'd be like, oh, wait. And then I would start drinking again or start smoking weed again. And then, like, all of these other priorities just disappeared. Like, it just took over my life pretty much from, like, the beginning. But at first that was fun. Like, it was cool. Like, I just didn't have a care in the world. I was just like, yeah, this is great. And luckily for me, like, I had people in my life who like, kind of cared for me and took care of me. So, like, the consequences of my drinking were not, they were internal. They weren't really external. Like, I didn't, like, I wasn't out on the streets. Like, I didn't, like, lose very much. But the reason I got sober were internal issues. So I kind of, like, stumbled around, and I guess I was, like, 19 when I realized, like, my goal in life was to be, like, this 60-year-old guy living in Jamaica on the beach with, like, long white hippie hair and, like, a joint in one hand and a margarita in the other. That was, like, all I wanted out of life. Like, literally, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I had no idea how to do that. I didn't know anything. I just figured if I kept drinking and using enough drugs, it would just happen to me. Like, that was my plan, right? And somewhere between, like, the ages of, like, 19 and 21, that shifted. That turned from a dream to, like, a nightmare. It turned into this thing that was, like, this inevitable fate that I had served myself up through, like, my drinking and drug use, that I was going to be that 60-year-old guy with the drink and the joint, and I was going to feel the way that I was feeling. Because when I was, like, 21 years old, I couldn't even look at myself in a mirror. Like, I would walk down the streets of New York, and I would pass, like a window, and I would go, like, I would just go like this. Or I would go through my bathroom to, like, take a shower, and I would turn away because I just couldn't stand the sight of myself. I couldn't stand who I was. And the thing that had made all that fear and that anxiety, like, go away, it just wasn't doing it anymore. Like, the drinking and the drugs, it wasn't doing the trick. It wasn't helping. So that was when I was like, you know what, like, maybe I need to stop. I need to stop drinking, and I need to stop smoking weed so much. The problem was I couldn't. I could go, like, a couple days, I could go a week. I think I may have went a month once. And, like, I was just so overcome with this anger and this fear that, like, I couldn't force myself to not do it. It was just this obsession that totally controlled me. So the first kind of, I call it, like, a miracle, because I think it's a miracle that I'm here, and I think it's a miracle that we're all kind of here, and, like, we were able to find this, and we're able to, like, make this work in our lives. My dad got sober. And it was weird because he was always, like, this kind of, like, party guy, and he was, like, this fun guy. But, like, all of a sudden, like, he had, like, 6 months, and I'm sure we've all seen this, but, like, he had that, like, light in his eyes, and he was, like, on the pink cloud. And I was like, holy crap, he's happy. And, like, I saw him happy for the first time in my entire life. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this? And he's like, oh, meetings, you got to go to these meetings. I was like, nope. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Like, that may work for you, but that is not something that's going to work for me. Do you got any money? Like, that was pretty much the way that it worked. So as time went on, like, the people in my life got smaller and smaller. And so by the end, the only people that were in my life were people that could do stuff for me. If you could, like, help me score, or you could give me money, or you could do something to, like, fulfill my needs, like, you had a space in my life. If you couldn't do that, then you just kind of, like, took to the side. And even if you could do those things, if it came a decision to doing something with you or, like, drinking and getting high, like, I would always make that decision to drink and get high. It just was, like, it was my number one priority, and I couldn't stop it. So then, not long after that, about 9 months after that, the second miracle happened in my life, and I got this check, big check, like a $40,000 check, and I was gonna have, like, this huge party. It was gonna be awesome. It was gonna be great. And I remember my dad sending me. He gave me this check, and he said, like, "Here you go. It's a hell of a lot of weed." And I was like, "Yeah." And something came over me, and I just gave him that money back. I just was like, "Don't give this to me." And like, I don't take credit for that. Like, there's still a part of me that regrets that decision. There's still a part of me that wishes that I had had that party, because it would have been awesome. But I didn't, you know? And so I was seeing this therapist, and, like, he was, like, telling me to go to meetings along with my dad. I was like, no, no, no. And, like, you know, I would see him, and I'd stay sober for that one day, and then I'd wake up the next morning, and it would be, like, hell for 6 days, and I'd go and see him. And he'd be like, I'd be like, I stayed sober for that day. And he'd be like, that's great, congratulations. And I wanted to punch him in the face. Because I had tried so hard, like, every one of those 6 days to stop, and I couldn't. And then this guy was, like, congratulating me. I just didn't understand it. So, like, I decided to go down to rehab in Florida. I would not go to a meeting. And I didn't really know anything about it. They told me it was going to be 3 months. So I was like, oh, 3 months. All right, so September 25th, 3 months later is Christmas. I'll be fixed. I'll be cured. Merry Christmas, everyone. Isn't everything great? Like, that's literally what I thought was going to happen. So I go down to Florida, and I get into this rehab, and I get in with this roommate, and he'd been there, like, six times before. So I thought he was, like, an expert. Like, I literally, that's what I thought. And so, like, I was like, whatever this guy says, I'm going to do it. And he was, like, throwing big book at me. He was like, you got to read this book, and you got to, like, go to a meeting. You got to raise your hand. You got to get a sponsor. You know, he's telling me to do all these things. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do all these things, like, because I didn't really know any better. So I go to this meeting, and I raise my hand, and I'm like, I just got down here, because they take us to meetings every night at this place that I went to, and I need a sponsor, and I don't know what that is. And then I just started crying. And that was, like, my first year. It was pretty much any time I opened my mouth, like, I just started crying. Like, I just couldn't help it. And he's like, oh, yeah, here's my number, you know, like, call me every day, you know. And he's like, I want you to, like, get up in the morning and get on your knees and say, please keep me sober. And if it works at the end of the day, say thank you. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't, like, wait a minute, like, what is this? Like, I don't know about this. And so I went back and I told my roommate, like, yeah, you got to do that. You know, you just got to start praying. I was like, okay. So, like, I started doing it. And it worked. Like, it fucking worked. You know, like, a week went by, and I wasn't, like, that bundle of fear, and I hadn't drank, and I hadn't used drugs, and, like, I started going to these meetings and talking to people, and I started talking to my sponsor, and, like, the first thing he told me after the praying thing was, he's like, you know, because I gave him this whole, like, spiel about, like, yeah, you know, like, I could take or leave, like, drinking, but I was really, like, a big weed smoker, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so he's like, well, you know, take out the word alcohol. He's like, you're powerless over everything. He's like, go out there and find me something that you can control, and then we'll talk about it. And so I was like, oh, okay, this guy gave me a thing. And so I must have spent about 6 months with this guy, coming to him every week with a thing that I thought I could control, and he patiently sat down with me until I understood that I couldn't control my feelings, that I couldn't control what this other guy thought of me, that I couldn't control, like, my drinking. There were all these things that I couldn't control. And I was like, ugh. You know, at the end of the 6 months, I was like, well, what the hell did you do to me? Like, now what do I do? You know, because it was all about control. That's what I was about. And then that was my introduction to the steps, you know. And, like, those first three steps, 1, 2, and 3, like, those are the things that I need to do constantly every day. Right. So, like, I get into these meetings, and I'm, like, doing all this stuff, you know, and I'm, like, hooking up with these people, and they're, like, doing the same thing I am, and everything is really cool, you know. And, like, I get to the fourth step, and I'm like, ugh, like, I don't want to do that. Right. And I put that off for, like, 9 months, until one of my friends of mine that I got sober with, like, tricked me into doing my fourth step. He's like, oh, come over. My parents aren't home. You know, he had this big place down in Florida. And so I get there, and he took my car keys. He's like, you'll get this back when you finish your fourth step. And that's, like, the cool thing is, because, like, I was even powerless over, like, writing. I knew it was, I had to do it. I knew this stuff, but, like, there was something in me that couldn't do it. And so I needed this help, you know. So, like, I mention that because it's very important, I think, to, like, have people around you who are doing this thing. Because I tried to do this alone, and I was even more miserable than when I was drinking, when I tried to get sober alone. And it wasn't until, like, I hooked up here, and I got with these people, and I learned about these different tools, that I was able to do that thing. So I'm, like, doing steps, and I'm getting involved in service, and I'm doing all this cool stuff. And I did that for a long time. I did that for like 6 years where I was like, this is the way it is. And I was like really into it. And it was great. And I grew and like all these wonderful insights. Doesn't really help. It doesn't change. It doesn't fix me. Right. I'm still like that alcoholic. Like I still have these character defects. They still come up and they still take over. Right. The difference is now is that I have this different set of tools. I have this way to deal with this that doesn't just fix like the problem here. That fixes like the spiritual part of it, which is like I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even realize. But that's where like it hurts me the most. I've come to realize. So. But that being said, like, I have these defects. I still have these defects. I'm always going to have these defects. You know, they're a part of me. You know, like, I'm awesome at resentments. You know, like all these things. You know, and I always say, like, you know, if you get a resentment, like, good. Congratulations. It's good. It's a good thing. No, really it is. Because you have these tools, right? And, like, I feel like resentments, they're like spotlights. They shine right onto your character defects, which gives you a chance to kind of, like, work these steps and get a little bit closer to whatever it is that keeps us here and keeps us sober. So if you get a resentment, good for you. Do something about it. You know, like we have some tools, you know, or don't. You can sit in it. Like I've sat in resentments for years in sobriety and I've festered them and I've like fed them and oh, they're like my little baby, you know, right? And, you know, that worked for me for a while, too, until it didn't, you know. But for whatever reason, like, those first three steps, like, realizing that I'm powerless, realizing, coming to believe that there may be something out there that can help me because I certainly can't do it, and then, like, coming to rely on that, like, that's the thing that I keep going on and keep going on. And I mention that because, you know, I don't do this right. I don't do this perfect. I do it the way that I'm able to do it today. You know, I went for a long time. I went for 6 years without going to meetings. And throughout that time, I slowly got more, I don't know, dry, I guess is the word, right? I sort of living in certain defects and not living in other defects. But, like, I was still trying to, like, deal with these the first three steps, right? And then this is like another miracle, right? I'm like living this life and I'm thinking like, oh yeah, I got this, whatever. I don't need to go to meetings. I me and God are cool, you know, like this, right? And so I'm like doing this thing and I get this phone call, right? And I share the story because it's like, it's amazing to me. And I'm glad that I was open to it when it happened. So I hadn't been to a meeting in like 6 years and I get this phone call from this guy and he's like, hey, is this Zane? I'm like, yeah, this is Zane. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, I got your name off this sponsorship list, and I want you to sponsor me. And I was like, all right, well, first of all, you need a new sponsorship list because I haven't been to a meeting in like 6 years. He's like, I don't care. I like your name. And so I'm like, all right, well, why don't you meet me at this meeting, and we'll sit down and see what happens. So I show up to this meeting, and I see a bunch of people from the when I used to go to meetings. And they're like, oh, my God, Zane, how you doing? How are things? I'm like, yeah, things are good, blah, blah. He's like, oh, we need someone to chair this meeting. So all of a sudden, I'm chairing this meeting, and I'm sitting down with this guy, and I'm talking to him about powerlessness, and he takes one look at me, and he's like, oh, I'm out of here. I never heard from this guy again. I hope he's doing all right. I don't even remember his name. But all of a sudden, I'm like chairing this meeting, so now I'm going to other meetings to find speakers. And, you know, I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm getting plugged back in. And one of, like, my best friends was on the ICKYPA advisory committee, and she's like, oh, I'm in town for a day. Why don't you come and see me? And it was at the elections for the big committee for ICKYPA. And so I'm going there, and one of the guys who, like, got me sober was there. And, like, everyone's like, oh, I want to be, you know, they're standing up for positions. I'm just sitting there, you know, like, looking because I hadn't been. He's like, why aren't you standing up? I'm like, nobody knows you. He's like, shut up and stand up. So I stand up, and no one's voting for me. I'm like, see, I told you. And then all of a sudden, like, I get elected for this position, and I'm on, like, this big committee. And I'm, like, doing all this service, and I'm getting sponsees, and I get a sponsor again, and I'm plugged back in, which is great. Everything is cool. Like, I'm feeling good again. And I'm, like, realizing that this time that I wasn't going to meetings, like, sure, like, I wasn't drinking, but, like, there was this – something was missing, and I didn't even realize what it was until I came back into meetings and kind of felt that plugged in again. I call it like a spiritual colonic, right? Because, and it, to me, it involves like sponsoring and being sponsored, right? Because I'm in the middle. Because if I'm just giving out, I get all stuck up. If I'm just taking in, I'm plugged up. But like if I'm in the middle, I'm flushed out, you know? Like I'm all good. Everything's good. The spirit's flowing through me. You know, and like I need to think in terms like that because it's just, you know, it just helps me because otherwise I'll get caught up in it. I need to think in terms like that. So anyway, you know, I'm like getting plugged back into meetings. I'm doing service. Everything is feeling good. And like all this crazy thing happened, like right, like a year after Ikipa, maybe in that year, my wife at the time was like, I don't really think I like you anymore and I don't want to be in this relationship. So I ended up in this divorce. And then like I had this business with my dad and like it kind of finally crashed after the recession and I lost like this job that I had for 10 years. And so then like I didn't have a job, I was divorced and didn't have a place to live. So I moved in with my grandmother. Yeah, and I'm 15 years sober, 40 years old. Not really like the life plan that I had kind of like expected, you know, like, but the thing is like all this stuff happened and, you know, I remember and I'm looking at my sponsor now and I sat down with my sponsor and I'm going through all these things and I sat down the one day and I go, you know what? I think I'm a serial killer. Because I'm going through all these things and I was like, I don't think I'm feeling emotions anymore. Because I'm going through all these things and I'm like feeling fear and I'm feeling anxiety and, you know, betrayal and anger and all this stuff, but they weren't like this overwhelming thing that they were for my entire life, even in sobriety. Like, you know, in sobriety, like someone would break up to me, oh my God, it would be like 6 months of tears and snot and like this horrible thing, you know, or like, oh my God, I got to move up to New York. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, you know, I'm like an anxious mess, but like I'm going through all these things and they're not affecting me in this way that they have always affected me my entire life. You know, and he's like, no, he's like, you're just kind of like doing the thing. And that's when I kind of really kind of understood that line that I've heard like thousands and thousands of times. You know, we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. Because individually, any one of those situations baffled me. I did not know how to deal with it. And all of a sudden, all of these things are happening. And I'm dealing with them in a way that I never would have imagined possible. Like that person that I was when I first walked into these rooms, I got 2 minutes, thank you. Never, ever would have been able to like deal with this in the manner that I am. And I wish I could be like, dude, take notes. Like this is, you know, what you do. But I don't know how it happened. Because obviously, you know, like I haven't been like coming to meetings the whole time. I haven't been like doing this thing. Followed all these rules exactly. I just know that like I've given myself up. Like I've tried to. This guy spoke and this guy was awesome. Man, I wish he was like my buddy a couple months ago. And he was, you know, he got sober in like the 50s when he was like 18. This guy was like the best. You know, and he said something about like I don't like to use the word like working the steps. You know, like I like to use like living the steps. You know, like because it that's what it's about for me is like how do I apply these like outside of here? You know, I can come in here and everyone's like, yay, like we're trying to get sober together. Let's do this thing. And, you know, so it's easy to like, for me, to do these things in here and to practice these principles in this room because everyone's doing it and it's very supported. And then I go outside and it's like, how do I deal with like guy on the subway or this like irate clerk at the DMV or whatever, whatever it is. And like, it's these taking these principles out of there for me and bringing them into that, like that to me is like living the steps. That to me is like really like working those first 1, 2, and 3 and like using them in my life. And so I think maybe that's why I was able to do what I've been doing. You know, and one of the biggest lessons I've learned, I know I only have like a minute left, so I'm going to end with this is, if I, you know, big part of my life before sobriety and well into sobriety was like all about trying to control stuff. Like I wanted to make sure that I had all the angles covered so that things would work out the way that I wanted, right? The best things that have ever happened to me have happened from things that I never would have signed up for in a million years. You know, like someone breaking up with me, like this thing that happened, you know, a couple years ago with all, you know, like I ended up, moving in with my grandmother, who's like 94 years old, and now I'm helping take care of her, and I'm spending time with her that I probably would not have done if I'm totally honest with myself, and I'm getting to like, do this thing. I'm, like, going back to school, trying to find out what I want to do. I was like, I'm going to be a scientist and find a cure for cancer. Yeah, it's not really going to happen. But, like, that's the way that I think. But, like, I'm finding these things that, like, I never would have searched for if I hadn't been in this situation. And the way that I was before, and even in sobriety, like, I would have fought against that change. I would have fought against that idea that, like, oh, this thing is happening to me. I have to control it. You know, and so the more I'm able to let go of that stuff, and the more I'm able to kind of be accepting of what's happening to me as, like, you know, I'm not really that special. Like, in my head, I'm like Superman, or like I'm like a superhero. But in reality, I'm just another dude. Like, I'm just another guy. And so I have to like align up the way that I think with reality. You know, that's one of the good things about doing a 10-step is being able to look at like that list of defects and be like, where am I doing? Oh, false pride. Yeah, motherfucker. That shit is always there, right? But, like, I don't notice it, and, like, it can totally take over my life unless I use these steps and I use these tools to do this. So that was a little bit over a minute. I'm going to shut up now, and because I really want to hear from you guys. Thank you.